The Casper Star Tribune, Ryan Holmgren joining us here on the program. Ryan, what's happening today, man?
Oh, not too much. Just kind of gearing up for this trip here to Boise this weekend. What about you?
Yeah, nothing much. You might have an irritated Boise State team with the shenanigans that went down in Fort Collins last night. Listen, you know, Boise State's already struggling, and then to have a call not go their way, and then have the Mount West come out with video that says that their officials were right with the call when it may prove that they were actually wrong even more, probably doesn't make them feel any better right now. That whole scenario down at Fort Collins there was just it was crazy.
Yeah, and then not to mention the fact that they're already coming off kind of a disappointing loss, so a second one, especially in that fashion, which wasn't really even a loss, is not going to probably sit well with them. So I would expect a pretty motivated Boise State team coming out on Saturday afternoon.
That's what I was going to ask you. Based on all the video that you've seen, the one provided by the Mountain West and the others that you've seen, obviously you are of the opinion that the shot should have counted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, number one, you go back and look at it last night, and you've got ESPN and, like, Deadspin. I even took my own stopwatch out, and it was like I was getting for sure less than 0.8 seconds, which is what was left on the clock from the moment that James Webb III touched the ball to when he released it. And then you have the video coming out today in their official statement, and it clearly shows that the stopwatch they were using was actually twice as fast as normal time.
Yeah.
So they're counting it. So they're counting it as they're somehow coming up with more like 1.4 seconds, which is like just absurd because, you know, 1.4 seconds, you know, in basketball terms is quite a long time. It only takes like 0.3 or 0.4 seconds to get a shot off. And it wasn't like he, you know, took a couple dribbles. It was like he took one dribble and then lifted off and let go. So, you know, it just seemed long anyway. So at least it makes more sense. I feel bad for the refs. Because obviously they had the technology was wrong from what it appears to be according to the video they released. And so they're going off that, and they're thinking that the stopwatch is correct, and they're coming up with 1.4 seconds. Well, you know, how can you can't say, if you're a ref, you can't say, oh, this technology is not right. It's, you know, that's what you're given, so that's what they have to work with. So, from my understanding, that was what was wrong was the technology. And because of that, Boise essentially lost the game. It was one of those calls where it's sometimes at the end of the game, it's like fans want it overturned because they're like, oh, we for sure would have won because we went up by 5 points with 20 seconds left. It's like, well, no. But this one, like, they absolutely would have won because there was no time left. So you really feel bad for them.
Well, and, you know, it makes sense. You know, most people had it less than 0.8. You know, some were putting it 0.7. If the stopwatch the Mount West was using had 1.3 or 1.4, that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense right there that it was twice as fast. It was wrong. And this is on the heels of the bad call that they did make, and the Mount West did apologize for the bad call. It's just not been a good look for the league offices this entire basketball season, really.
No, and yeah, and Jeff Grammer from the Albuquerque Journal, who covers the Lobos, he tweeted a screenshot out of something. I think he might have typed it up, and it was basically just a list of everything that has been pretty much on the downside for the Mountain West this year. And it started with non-conference not really going that well. I think he even forgot to include Dave Rice being fired, basically because Boosters threatened to, I don't know, stop giving money, I guess, and use their power there, and that it hasn't went well for the Rebels since then, and then all the way through with these, you know, the whole ordeal with going back to removing basically three teams from the 2017 West Conference Tournament and beyond down to an 8-team field, and the way that thing whole went about, and then reprimanding Coach Shiat, and then New Mexico's university president saying, oh, the coaches knew, and then the coaches were upset because they actually didn't, and apparently that seemed to be a lie. And then you have these bad calls here with the New Mexico-San Diego State game. Then you have this one here. You have the whole Josh Adams thing with him being suspended, even though Marquez Coleman has more technicals than him on the year. And so that's all blurry. And you have just the fact that it's looking like a one-bid league. So if you go back in history since 1999 when the when the league began, it's going to be hard to find a year where there's so much kind of so many blunders really from the league office, starting from them and going throughout the league.
The problem was the fans at UNLV threatened not to show up for the games if Dave Rice didn't get fired. Oh, wait, they're not showing up still.
Yeah. Ryan Holmgren joining us here in the Sports Zone. I brought up this scenario, Ryan, and think about this for a second. And maybe I'm really trying to think too.
Really stretching on this.
No, I don't think I am.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say I'm not exactly sure where San Diego State's RPI is. They're in the top 80, so that tells me they're not. I mean, their RPI is not great. Let's say they limp down the stretch. They're 3-3 down the stretch, and they're 14-4. They'd be 21-10 overall, and then they mess up in the conference tournament. Even though they won the regular season title, sitting there, they're not going to have a great RPI. Is that enough to get them in with an at-large, or is this a one-bid league with the tournament champion, not San Diego State, going in?
Yeah, you know, they lost six spots in the RPI, so they're down to 46, which is still, but that's getting in kind of bubble territory there, given the fact that they lost to San Diego earlier in the year, and it was just a terrible loss, and they've had some other kind of head-scratching performances. But then they run off 11 straight games to start conference play, but so if their RPI, I don't think they can limp down the stretch and still get in. I think they right now they're what, are they 11-1? They've got six games left in conference play. I think they need to. I think they have to go 5-1 and at least reach the semis to get in at large. Because the thing is, I think they still have one more game with San Jose State, and they might have one more game with Air Force, and those are going to be huge RPI hits. Even if they win on the road, it doesn't matter. You're still losing RPI points, so it's not going to help you. That's the problem with having a pretty subpar non-conference season from the league as a whole, is you're not like a Power 5 school where it's okay if your non-conference doesn't go well or go that great, because you can play, you know, Michigan State and Indiana and Purdue and all these other teams that are ranked, and it's like you get opportunities for great wins. They don't have any more opportunities for great wins the rest of the season. Even considering the Mountain West tournament, you're not going to beat anyone that's in the top 50. You don't have an RPI top 50 game left, so it's like they can't really, they don't have much margin for error, in my opinion. So I think it's going to be tough for them to limp down the stretch and get in.
Ryan Holmgren, our guest. Ryan, the Cowboys at Boise State. What are you expecting from this Wyoming team after a week off from game action and what they did against Utah State with the 23s? And, you know, how do you think Boise State's going to come out with the way they've been playing? I mean, this is kind of an interesting game. Josh Adams, who didn't play in the first meeting, is back on the floor for them. This is kind of an interesting game with all the things going around both teams.
Yeah, I think it's a hard one to predict, because when you get to this point in conference play, it's really a time when anything can happen. So it wouldn't surprise me if Boise State came out really fired up and went ahead like 20-4 or something, you know, just with a huge lead right away. And at the same time, it wouldn't necessarily surprise me if maybe those two losses or send them over the edge. They've lost four or five now, and now they, you know, it's like it's got to be hard to get motivated given the way that kind of the wind came out of their sails there last night. And maybe they kind of just throw in a clunker, and then Wyoming plays well again, coming off a nice win and a little bit of rest finally. And Wyoming gets a nice road win, where that would be huge for them, because if you look at the standings, Wyoming's only two games back from Boise State, which is kind of unthinkable considering the stretch that Wyoming had there for a little while, and Boise State was being considered a contender. But you know, if Wyoming needs a win like this, maybe needs one or two wins where maybe they're not expected to have a great chance. I haven't seen what Vegas' line is on this game, but I imagine it won't be, you know, a 1 or 2 point spread. It might be a little bigger than that with Wyoming on the road. But they need a couple of those to get themselves, if they want to be in a position to finish and maybe somehow avoid that first round game and get a bye. That's kind of a stretch, and they'll need to play really well, but that's kind of what they need, is a win like this. So tough to predict, though.
Always good to catch up, Ryan. Enjoy your trip to Boise, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
All right, take it easy.